Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebelt. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Where are you at nowadays?
I'm in Krakow, Poland now. I just came from Prague and about to go to Berlin for the conference. I think it's called the DNX conference for digital nomads. And we'll be showing a few minutes of the documentary that we filmed at the conference. And I don't know, just see what happens.
Yeah, no, that sounds really, it sounds like a cool tour there. I've been to all three of those places and they're all great cities.
Yeah, so let's jump right into it because, I mean, you reached out to me and it does seem like you might have an interesting story. So let's see if we can backtrack a little bit to when you quit your job and started backpacking and just tell me how that went.
Yeah, I guess, let's see, going all the way back here just to give you the full context. I usually start in college from the Boston area, went to Harvard and majored in applied math. And after I graduated, I got a job in corporate finance at a sort of financial institution, it's called Capital One, as a business analyst. And I moved down to DC with my girlfriend, who was an accountant in the city. And we started doing what thousands of other new college grads do every year. And within about 6 months, we already felt like we were, this did not feel like the long term strategy for life, so to speak. The learning stops and you just start executing on whatever it is you were kind of taught to do, and you don't get a lot of motivation from really working on other people's things. So we started planning our escape because we didn't really know what we wanted to do exactly, but we wanted to travel. We both had studied abroad in college and, you know, relatively avid travelers, you know, for our age. And the idea was going to be a 1 year gap year, basically, where we go backpacking around Asia and Europe and then, you know, kind of see what happened after that. And somehow 1 year became 2 years. It was literally just one of those sort of one day. My girlfriend said, why don't we do 2 years instead of one? I just don't think 1 year is long enough. And she's very persuasive and she does all the cooking. So if I want to get fed, you know, we have to kind of do what she says, which is fine. I agreed to that in September of 2012. We set off on our 2 year backpacking trip. First place we went to was Japan. And over that 2 years, we went to over 40 countries. And then we started working online.
So you said you went to Harvard. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you go to this school, and I can imagine that the loans, unless you paid in cash somehow, the loans must have been pretty big for that school. And then you studied math, and then you just decided that this is not. How many years did you study total?
It was 4 years.
4 years.
And believe it or not, it actually wasn't as expensive as you'd think. In fact, I paid much less than my girlfriend did to go to Boston University. And I even paid less than my sister did to go to UMass Amherst, which is a state school. And you know, we were from Massachusetts. They give very good financial aid, so it just wasn't too expensive.
Huh. Okay, so you go backpacking, and did you guys have savings, or did you start working while backpacking already, while, you know, doing stuff online?
Yeah, we had savings. Between the two of us, we had saved up about 50 grand or so, which is actually, you know, it's not a considerable, I guess, amount of money when you're 24. I at the time, I didn't think that much of it, but years later, I realized that a lot of people actually our age are kind of struggling to just kind of save anything. But we thought that, it was 45 or 50 grand or so. And we thought that would, it probably wouldn't quite last us 2 years, but it would definitely last us a year and a half, maybe like a year and 9 months. And if we wanted to pick up the extra 3 months, we'd have to just do some work on the road.
It depends, you know, 10 months in Japan or 5 years in Chiang Mai.
Exactly. Yeah. It's more about how you travel and where you travel.
Right. So it averages out. So at which point did you guys go online and start doing things there?
you know, we actually started going online about 6 months before we left. I mean, baby steps, really, because I, despite being sort of a math major at a good college, I didn't know anything about websites and online marketing, anything like that. I didn't even know, you know, what a CMS was, you know, what's WordPress. But we wanted to start a blog about the travel because we thought it was going to be a fun trip. We wanted to write about it. We were hoping that maybe we could monetize the travel blog, or at least, you know, get some free tours and things like that. So we started that in February of 2012. And, you know, we were doing it right, I'd say. I mean, for people that didn't know anything, I mean, we were focusing on good design and good content. And I was trying to find guest post opportunities to drive traffic. And I was teaching myself about SEO at night. For two people that didn't know anything, you know, we actually developed a nice travel blog, you know, when we left.
That's interesting. I remember when I was leaving New York and I told some of the Wall Street guys I know that I'm leaving, and they said, just don't start a freaking travel blog. The world does not need one.
It's true.
But you did. Okay. So the business that you were running from the road was a travel blog. That's what was bringing the money in?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing was, it's really to your point. I mean, what we did with the travel blog when we started it, it was not any different from the millions of other travel blogs that are on the internet. It was, you know, a couple that were going on a backpacking trip and writing about it and writing about their experiences. But early on, I mean, in September or so, advertisers just kind of started reaching out to us a little bit, like out of nowhere in small doses, you know, once a week. And they said, hey, look, we represent these travel clients, Expedia, Kayak, whatever. Would you be interested in featuring them in an article? And we'll pay you to do it. We said, yeah, sure. I mean, how much? And they'd say something like, well, how about $150? I said, well, yeah, that's a lot of money. I mean, for us, that's could be a week in some places. We started to kind of get these inbound inquiries to write about these travel companies. We were getting paid to do so. And at the time, it was just a couple hundred dollars, but we were proactive enough to think that if we were making a couple hundred dollars doing nothing and just having people reach out to us, that there was probably a whole market of people that would be interested in working with us on our travel blog, and we just needed to find them. So we started reaching out to other travel bloggers in our niche, connecting with them, finding out if they were doing this, who did they know, who had they worked with, how much had that person paid, and what did they want, trading contacts and building up a large base that then we could start doing our own direct outreach to work with advertisers. And that took sort of $300 a month to sort of $3,000 a month by late, you know, December that year.
What type of traffic was that blog getting?
It wasn't getting that much. It was probably getting around 10,000 page views a month.
Okay. That's decent though for a travel blog.
Yeah, it's okay. Not setting any records though.
Other than the travel blog, did you start any other online businesses at that time, or was that like the major thing that you were working on?
The main thing that we were working on was the travel blog, but I guess what we did was we kind of scaled it nicely. So the first thing that we did once we realized that we had one travel blog that was making us, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 a month was to see if we could acquire other travel blogs. So we started buying and building other travel blogs. We were looking on sites like Flippa, where they, you know, it's like a marketplace for websites, and, you know, seeing if we could buy them for cheap. Or buy domains and sort of build them up. And because we knew that if we had sort of the ear of these advertisers and they were interested in working with us for one, a lot of times they'd be interested in working, you know, for group deals, you know, because they've got a budget, they've got to spend, and they got to build links and for their clients. And just it's more convenient for them to just work with one guy many times as opposed to finding 10 people to work with. So we started essentially building and acquiring new websites. And that was how we really started growing. And then even further, we started working with other travel bloggers because there's only so much buying and building that could be done in a short amount of time. And it's relatively resource intensive to buy a website and put content on it and build it up. We thought, you know, there's already all these existing travel blogs out there. Many of them aren't really making any money, but want to be making money. And the big thing is they just don't really know how it works. So what we did was we functioned as sort of a liaison between the travel bloggers and the advertisers, making introductions and taking a commission on any sales that came out of it. At one point, we were probably working team with maybe 20 different travel bloggers taking commissions on all the sales that we generated for them. And when combining that and having our own network, we started to do, you know, relatively well.
So you bought these websites and you built them up. Or did you do redirects and just kind of try to build up one huge website? I'm just making sure I get the distinction here.
The reason, I guess, instead of trying to build up one huge website, it was, you could say get $100 for a basic website and you could get maybe $300 for like a really good website, for example. There were sort of upper limits as to what people would pay for one website. The way to really scale was to just have multiple websites. It was just a better business strategy.
Other than this online business, what else did you get out of traveling for 2 years around the world? What do you think was something that you took away from that?
Probably the biggest, you know, life-changing thing I think, you know, for us was it really just changed our whole mentality into, you know, how we wanted to live our lives, which is probably about the biggest, I think, epiphany that one can have. The original goal when we set off to do 2 years was that I was going to come back, I was going to go to business school, I was going to further my education, and I was going to enter back into the workforce, more or less where I had left it with a few more experiences under my belt. But once we started to kind of dip into online business and really see the realm of possibilities that were out there, it was like there was no going back. You know, it's just, it becomes almost like a little bit of an addiction. And since then, I mean, for the last 3 or so years, that's all we've been doing is really working online, traveling. We did a road trip around the U.S. We're going to be going to Central America later this year. And, you know, I mean, you know what it's like, sort of the digital nomad lifestyle.
I feel like there's a lot of people on the fence and they want to jump into it, and some of them will. And if you're probably listening to this now, I'm just wondering, what skills would you tell them to start acquiring right away when they make this leap? And, you know, because some will have savings, but I think in the back of their head, they're like, well, maybe I can make it. Maybe I can do this long term.
On the one hand, when we first started, you could argue that, you know, we had really not that many skills in regards to sort of online marketing and content writing or anything like that. What we did have was, you know, a relative high degree of, I guess, determination to try to make it work. And eventually you kind of can grind your way through it. I'm sure if I knew what I knew now, then I could make it sort of an easier route. And there's also an element of probably a little bit of luck, to be honest. You know, I mean, you know, we got found by some advertisers who kind of took interest in the blog, paid us some money, and just kind of sparked our curiosity. That said, if you were going to get started right now, I really think you really have to kind of think long term about what it is you'd like to do, how you'd like to make money. I mean, it's a different strategy for every what you want to do. I mean, what we did with the kind of the selling links to advertisers and things like that is very different from what I do now, where I'm trying to build a software business. It takes a completely different, you know, skill set, different sort of channel marketing and things like that. So, you know, really having a clear goal as to, you know, how you feel like you're going to make money is number one. And if you don't even have that, which honestly probably many people don't, it probably is a good idea to just read about what other people are doing. Try to understand how other people are making money and really how that works. And imagine if that were you. I mean, do you feel like this is something you would want? Like, do you want to be the guy who has a large website and makes money selling affiliate products? Or would that not really be that interesting to you? Or do you want to be the guy who's got his own software product and things like that? Or no, I really don't like the idea of that. And that's probably how I'd get started.
Yeah, that's why I asked about skills and not strategy, because we all take a different route, but the skills I think transfer pretty well. Also with the books, I don't recommend the 4-hour work week because you might get really weird expectations of what this is going to look like.
Sure.
And I've seen a lot of people bomb because of that. And it's a good book, but it's more like a fiction book with a small grain of truth in there somewhere. And that's right. Nothing against Tim Ferriss, but it's just the way he wrote it was really to show this lifestyle in a different light. And I think people take it as a manual, which it's not.
Good point.
I got Taylor Pearson coming on, right? And he wrote this new book called The End of Jobs.
Uh-huh.
I think you've noticed it, like, you know, on TV with The Prophet and The Shark Tank and all these shows, like this whole huge movement to, you know, quit your job and everyone should be a business person, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, how do you feel about that? Because I'm really having a hard time telling people to just quit their jobs.
On the one hand, So first of all, I sort of function as kind of like a digital nomad. I quit my job and we run our own business and we're very kind of happy about the choice that we've made. That said, I really don't think it's for everybody. I mean, when somebody says, that they're working sort of the corporate 9-to-5, if they hate it and they're doing nothing about it, then it's kind of like, well, you should certainly be making a change. But if you actually like it, and some people do, some people like going to the office, they like having coworkers, they like having structure, they like being part of something larger, then by all means, I say enjoy yourself and don't really worry about maybe running your own business or entrepreneurship, because it brings as much as can bring sort of freedom and a lot of sort of intellectual curiosity and things like that, it also brings a lot of stress and sort of unknowns and can be some sort of emotional distress at times. And it's certainly not. I don't think it's for everybody. That said, if you really are just not happy with what you're doing, I just don't really understand, why you wouldn't try to make a change.
That's true. And I don't mean just digital nomads. I'm thinking about just starting a business in general. I just don't think it is for everyone. I don't think a lot of people will succeed because it's the wrong expectations, This whole, it's going to be rainbows and unicorns at the end. It's not really like that.
No, it's a hard slog.
Anyone that says it hasn't really run a business. And it can be really great. It does get you freedom, money, and all this stuff. But it's a grind. A lot of the times it's a grind. When it's running smoothly, you just got to keep thinking, when is it going to stop running like this?
Yeah, exactly. You're always worried about, sort of losing it, right? Because you don't really have – you never feel like you have security, no matter really how good things are going. And it's to some degree, it's because you don't really have security so much. I mean, maybe there are times when you're worrying more than you really need to. But I mean, just for example, that travel business that I was talking about, that lasted until January of last year. And then the whole thing completely imploded. And I mean, literally, we lost 90% of our income within a short amount of months. That's like the quick turnaround that business can have. Now, again, like I'm running a software business. Last week we had our best week of signups ever. This week, it's like nobody's signing up. It's just it doesn't really play by the rules a lot. And it can really kind of wear on you emotionally to kind of have to deal with that. And I just, I really don't think it's for everyone.
Why did that business fizzle up? Because that's where I was going to kind of lead into, but you mentioned it already, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, essentially the way that business was operating was, it was kind of black hat, and black hat generally refers to doing something that is not necessarily not allowed by Google terms of service and things like that. Not harmful by any means, but just kind of like gaming the system type of stuff. Essentially these advertisers who were kind of buying links from us to they were buying inbound links to their clients, which is against Google's terms of service. And Google's sort of reaction to that is simply to kind of ding everybody, penalize everybody. And what they did in January was they penalized Expedia. And when Expedia gets penalized, like everybody hears about it, everybody knows about it, and demand just started to really dry up. Additionally, a bunch of the websites that we owned got de-indexed and removed from the search engine. And really just like that, I mean, the business was kind of gone. It was like 1 month, you're making 20 grand a month. Next month is 10. Next month is 5. Next month is 2. Before you know it, you really got nothing. And, we were very fortunate enough to, on the one hand, have a relatively high level of paranoia to know that this was probably going to happen at some point. So we never overextended ourselves. We never adjusted kind of our spending habits to just kind of go way overboard on the money that we were spending. So we had amassed a decent amount of savings and we weren't hit with anything. Like we had a big house and no way to pay for it. So we were lucky in that sense, but not everybody necessarily would be. And it still meant that we had to kind of start from scratch and build again.
Let's get into this new business. Tell me a little bit about that, because I want to start explaining it to the audience, because I'm not, I guess, I don't know as much about, I know the basics about the outreach, but I would just have rather you explain it.
Sure. So the new business that I started is called Ninja Outreach, and it's an influencer marketing software or like a blogger outreach software. And essentially the reason I started it was to be exactly sort of the antithesis, I think, of what the travel business, was not. The travel business was every month, I don't even know how many people are going to be buying, our customers are going to be coming back, how much money we're going to make, when is Google going to penalize us, things like that. I wanted something very predictable where I knew I was providing real value to customers, and that people would cancel, but in all likelihood, you know, it was going to be more or less predictable. So SaaS is just known as one of those types of business models. It's got metrics. They're very clear. You can calculate things. You can project things. It's great. So I was looking to basically starting a software business, and I was trying to kind of understand where my domain expertise fit in and what I've been doing for the last few years. And most of it was around sort of digital marketing, blogging, content marketing, things like that. Connected with two other guys in the UK who we did a podcast together. They also kind of had an idea for a social analytics tool, and the three of us just decided to team up. You know, I needed a developer, they needed a marketer. You know, three is better than one. Let's go. We essentially built a large database of bloggers that you can search through via keyword, organize them in the lists for your teams, you know, tag them, assign them to clients, things like that, kind of like a CRM, and then outreach to them with custom templates through email. So it's a blogger outreach platform.
Yeah, I like the premise of it and reaching out to these influencers and just even to getting people on the podcast that I want. It's a hard job. It's like a full-time job of its own. But I also feel like it's not a one-fits-all solution, right? So the people that I'm looking for are probably not on the list. Also, I don't know why you did that, but it seems like I got to install the software, and that's the only reason I haven't played with it much, because I just don't want to install anything these days. I feel like, I don't know what happened over the last 5 or 7 years to me, but I just, if someone tells me to install something, it better just be like Photoshop.
Yeah, right.
Anything other than that, I'm like, there's no reason at all to be installing anything on my computer. It's running fine, and I know what happens when I start installing. So why did you go that route?
Well, so we are a web app now, but that's been a transition that's taken place over the last 2 months or so. You know, originally, we were a desktop application for the sole reason that the two guys that I partnered with had already started working on a desktop application. And instead of basically starting from scratch and building a web app, we thought it would be better to simply quickly finish what we had, get it to market, you know, and then get customer feedback, iterate on it, things like that. You know, at the end of the day, it seemed like if it was a problem worth solving, that, you know, whether it was in desktop form or web app form, you know, people would put up with it if it was that much of a pain point. You know, truthfully, if it is that much of a pain point, people probably would put up with a desktop app, but there are also a lot of other people who maybe it's not like a huge pain point for, but it is something that they would like to kind of benefit from. But then, you know, to like you said, you know, they all of a sudden have to install something, and it's only for Windows, and a lot of people use Mac, and all of a sudden it just doesn't really work. And it was really a poor sort of strategic decision that came out of, you know, really not wanting to start over from scratch and invest a whole bunch of money into you know, basically doing this web app and seeing if we could kind of take a shortcut to market with the desktop app, and didn't work out. So earlier this year, we switched to the web application. So now when somebody signs up, they get access to both. And some people do use both. Some people just use the desktop app, strangely, but the majority of people use the web app.
I got the email and I just noticed the desktop one. So I got to talk to you about that, see if I can get on that one and check that out a little more.
No problem.
I kind of wonder, like, how many influencers do you have in there and what niches are they in? Because is this mostly for marketing people, or is it for travel bloggers? Like, what markets is it for? It can be for everyone.
It's not necessarily for everybody, because that would require like an extremely large database, but it is fairly comprehensive. I mean, what we've done is we've built a web crawler, and that's kind of how we build our database. So there's over a million influencers in the tool, and therefore it really covers all the big niches like health and finance and fashion and beauty and travel and money and things like that. If you have very specific needs, it may be the case that we don't really have an influencer match for you. You know, somebody was looking for shapewear bloggers, and shapewear is like form-fitting clothing or something, and they didn't find really a large, you know, source for that. But if you were, you know, willing to go something a little bit more general, like a lingerie blogger or even a fashion blogger, you would definitely find people.
How is the growth of the app so far? So you said you started like about a year ago, right? What's the user base like, and how is it growing?
I would say it's growing okay. I mean, you know, software notoriously takes just a long, long time. It takes a long time to develop the tool. It takes a long time to acquire customers, and it takes a long time for those customers to really pay you money, because if you're paying like a monthly subscription, Then if you're charging only $19 a month, you know, you need that person to be around for 10 months just to get $200 out of them, you know, whereas like, if you sell an online course, for example, and you charge $200 to sign up, you get it right away. Essentially, we spent about 6 months developing the tool from June to December of last year where we were in beta. We launched in January and the launch was very, it was a very quiet launch because, you know, honestly, the desktop software aspect really, it just really hurt things because I really should have had some water. I've been talking too much lately, but the desktop app just didn't go that well. Obviously, you know, first of all, half the market is Mac users, which was we way underestimated how many people use a Mac. I figured it would be about 10% or so. I mean, if you know, and that's what the general environment is. But I think in our specific niche, which is sort of like younger entrepreneurs, digital marketers, a lot of people use Mac. So 50% of the people were kind of out. Couldn't even use it. And then there's also a sizable portion of people that are Windows users but just don't want to install anything. So long story short, we've been live for about 6 months. We released a web app sometime in June, and we're now up to about 80 customers or so, which is a little under $2,500 a month. But the growth rate has actually been pretty good. It's been, you know, at least 20%. Sort of month over month. So I'm hoping now with sort of the web app out and having kind of fine-tuned a few things that will actually finish, you know, reasonably strong by the end of the year.
Could you share some of your marketing strategies for this app? What you used?
The biggest thing we use, to be honest, is a mix of content marketing and influencer marketing. And we use our tool to do so. And then we use other tools and other methods in combination. But there's an element of, say, this is the tool that we're selling. We're kind of trying to sell this business model, or at least this marketing approach. So we should absolutely be doing it ourselves as a way to kind of prove out the model and make sure that we know, you know, that we're experts on it. So we do a lot of content influencer marketing to generate traffic. And that's gone very well, I'd say, in general. For those who don't really know that much about influencer marketing, content marketing, it notoriously takes time to kind of build up an audience, but when you do, you can draw from that almost sort of like forever, right? So when we first started in January, just really with content marketing and things like that, we had a small audience of, you know, 1,000, 2,000 visitors a month. Now we're up to more like 10,000 visitors a month or so. So we've kind of, you know, increased it four or five times, and consequently, our signups have increased about four or five times as well. It just kind of it goes. It's sort of the conversion rate holds the same, and you just kind of scale up. And so now we can get a bunch of no touch signups who just come to the website and they test out the free trial and maybe they buy, maybe they don't. That's been the biggest thing. In addition to that, we also do a lot of guest posting and product reviews. So we reach out to influencers in our space, ask them to review the product, we give them the free software, affiliate program, giveaways to their audience, things like that. This is, again, it works well for us, and it certainly can work well for a lot of people, but it won't work well for everybody. It just happens to be the case that, you know, we're a software application, the marginal cost of a user is quite low, and we can do these types of things. So guest posting, product reviews, content marketing, and we do some occasional white hat link building as well.
Okay, David, if people want to reach out to you and find you, what would they do that?
Naturally, they can head over to our website, which is ninjaoutreach.com, or send me an email at dave@ninjaoutreach.com. Would love to hear from people. I'm also on Twitter @ninjaoutreach. So yeah, give us a ring.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.